Welcome to the How to Live Life Differently podcast, where we explore the art of creating genuine personal fulfillment, exciting professional achievement, and thriving, enriching relationships in real life. Because the truth is, can you really be successful if you're not fulfilled? Hey, I'm your host, Nicole Herring, an NLP practitioner, aka word nerd, and creative soul who spent years learning how to love her motherhood as much as she loves her kids. Only then to discover that what I actually needed was to trash that good on paper checklist that looked good on the outside, but really felt empty on the inside. Each week, I will share inspiring stories from guests who walk the talk, offer practical tools for taking action in your journey of fulfillment, and deliver content that supports you in interrupting and initiating life in a most empowering way. So grab your earbuds, head out for some sunshine, fold that load of laundry, or get a notebook to take some notes. You can live life differently, and I'm here to help you with the how. Let's get started. Hey, hey, welcome back to the How to Live Life Differently podcast. I am so glad that you are on this journey. So we're in the middle of a five-day series on self-awareness, and I have an awesome treat for you today. I have a friend and a woman who I really had some fun times getting to know over the last few months. She is a singer, she is a songwriter, and she is a storyteller. She's amazing. Welcome, Bree Dimmitt. We'll link her stuff on Spotify at the end, but like, I'm thrilled to have you on the show. Thank you so much for saying yes.
Ah, yes. Thank you. It is such an honor for you to even have me on and for me to be here. So thank you.
So I have to give a little bit of an inside scoop, I guess, on how we met. And I'm going to tell that story just quickly because I want people to understand how easy it was to get to know you and how warm and awesome you are from the very get-go. So I was hosting an event. We were doing the paint and pose where you're like painting on a canvas and then posing, doing some black and white photography. I wanted to check that out. And you messaged me and you're like, oh my gosh, this sounds so much fun. And so I, of course, started scoping you out on social media and like doing a little stalker on Instagram. Who is this woman? What is she all about? And I was totally taken aback by what you do. So I'm going to let you explain it better. And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about like the next evolution of our like connection, but tell us the magic about what you do.
Yes. So I am, one of the things that I do is I am a storytelling musician. And so I work with individuals and corporate agencies and not-for-profit organizations. And I work with their clients and individuals who are navigating, typically they're navigating grief or they're just a keynote speaker who's wanting to share their story. And I interview them and then I basically use their own words and turn it into a custom anthem.
It's unbelievable. And so the reason why this was so meaningful to me is because I was, you know, some of the stories are about stories of redemption. Some of it is about loss, you know, like life is up and down. There's a roller coaster. And I had like a full body experience where I had chills up my whole entire body thinking about how my journey of having been in a head-on collision by a drunk driver was so impactful in my life and how much of a mask I wore in my life, meeting people because they would be feeling so bad and so terrible about what was going on with my face. And I don't know how I would have managed. Oh, you're so brave. And I really got into a place where I was diminishing what I went through because of how uncomfortable it was making people feel. And I always kind of thought at some point, maybe I would talk about that story or do it in some significant way, or I'd be part of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. But my journey hasn't gone that direction just yet. And I'm still open to it. But it occurred to me, like, I just got like this flash of heat across my face and chills up my spine. And I was like, what if there was a song about it? Because I went through such a journey of really embracing my face and falling in love with myself, even though my face was quote unquote damaged. And then realizing, you know, I didn't have to just tell people I was a stronger person for the accident. What if I actually believed that? So I don't want to tell too much more of this story because I really want to get it back on you, but it's like, it was so touching to learn that you do something so rich and so meaningful for people. And just the idea, I could get tears in my eyes right now, just like the idea of there being a song about my experience and the journey that I've gone through, like, it just it blew my mind. It was like opening it up, because I'm a writer. I too am a storyteller. It never occurred to me that like there could be a song and that there could be lyrics and like a tune that, about my story of redemption. So anyway, that's a whole, yeah. So I asked her to come on this podcast because I wanted to do an episode on self-awareness as it relates to emotion. So I want you to tell us a little bit about your story and why singing about emotions, which is something you did for other people, but now you have another album coming out and there's some pretty powerful songs. I've gotten a sneak peek, sorry to tell you guys. Tell us a little bit about that journey of you bringing your story and your emotion into your music.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I am a very emotional being. I always have been. I was very expressive as a kid. And I always song wrote as a kid. Like that was my process. I had epilepsy when I was a child and I was diagnosed when I was 5. And those experiences having seizures really caused my brain to function a little differently, but songwriting was so fluent for me. It was so natural. It was just this innate gift. And that's how I coped just through life. It would always be pen to paper and I would write a song about it. And so that part of my life has just been so interwoven since I was a kid, since I can remember, and evolved into this beautiful way of being held for myself. But that wasn't something that I necessarily consciously knew. I really wanted to be held because as I grew up, I went through a lot of loss. I lost my mom at 13. I myself had a death experience because of a 2.5 hour seizure when I was 10, and a plethora of other things as well. And so tapping into that songwriting experience throughout those events in my life was so healing. And as I got older and as I stepped into my career, met a lot of my colleagues, I realized, oh my gosh, like everyone has stories. Like everyone has all these like emotions. And as I grew up, I realized too, for me, it felt like as a kid, there were a little bit more environments where it was safe to feel. And the older I got, I kind of realized that those environments became a little bit more scarce. And I was like, what could I do about that? Like, how could I create a space for people to feel and just show up without any judgment, criticism, or anything? And that's where the storytelling musician process came to be. But through that evolution, through songwriting, holding space for others, holding space for myself, learning that and that evolution then became this new album that I'm writing that consists of all songs that are based on my own story. And it's the first time I've ever done that. And that's coming out this summer.
I love it. And so it brings a bit of vulnerability because it's like you have this power and this gift and this, you know, talent to be able to do this. And I know from my own experience that when it came to writing, I was actually really good at helping people write their bios. And I'm like, that's a badass bio. You know, I'm like, I can really cheerlead other people up. I can really talk great about them. I can interview them and get all these little details that are significant and show them the significance of their story in some ways. And I'm starting to sit through that process for my own bio. And I was like, okay, this is a little harder because it is hard. For me, it's not so hard to sit with the emotion, but sometimes, especially when you're proud of where you've gone and gone through and where you've come to, there's still a little bit of that suppressiveness that I experience where it's like, okay, well, you can't be too proud of yourself and what you've done because like, then you're not being, you know, like you're lacking humility. Nobody wants somebody that's not humble, but it's like, what's that balance, that fine line of being so freaking proud of yourself and being able to talk about that without other people, you know, being turned off by it. And you, I know you can't help people with that, but I just want to say, it's like, it's easy to do this for other people. So like, I'm sure it was a little bit more challenging to bring your emotion and your story into your own songwriting. Like, I'm just guessing, you tell me.
Yes, no, 100%. Well, and I think too, I mean, I had to do so much work of calling myself out and taking accountability. And I mean, really asking myself who I wanted to be, what really is my story? And that has evolved so much. I mean, especially as a kid, the deductions that I made or the like story and the narrative that I created is so different than the story and the narrative that I have and hold with me today and who I am today. And so, I mean, it took so much work for me to ask myself so many questions. And I think that's where the self-awareness piece comes in, is really taking ownership for my life. And as I was writing this album, that was the first time I felt that, like really taking ownership for my actions, who I am, and really understanding that I am this creator and director of my life. And so what does that look like? Mm-hmm. And when I, you're right, when I was working with clients and when I am working with clients, it's so different because I'm holding, it's so not about me. Like the whole process is not about me at all. So there's no pressure. Like I mean, for me, it's literally just really listening and asking the right questions and making sure that I'm documenting their story most authentic to them. And yeah, flipping the script and doing that for myself also was about me having to really look myself in the mirror and really face the facts and speak truth into myself and really understand all of my emotions. And I think by doing that, this album was so naturally created. And I wrote all these 12 songs in record time than I ever have. And I think it was because once I started just being truthful with myself, that is when my creative flow just happened.
Yeah, no. And so, and here's what I would love for people to see is, so the power of being truthful to yourself comes from your ability to hold safe space for yourself. And so this is why we lie to ourselves. This is why we don't tell the truth. This is why people literally, you said, look myself in the mirror. I know to some degree you meant that literally. You're looking yourself in the mirror. You are having a conversation with yourself. You're making eye contact. You are talking to yourself. And I know from my own experience and from working with clients, actually saying loving, kind, nurturing, compassionate things to yourself in the mirror, telling yourself how much you matter, how much I care. You are important to me. What you want and need matters. Like you're valuable. People cannot do that. It is actually very hard for people to make eye contact with themselves and to hold a safe space without criticizing, looking away, getting ashamed, replaying old tapes in their mind of the bad things that they did. I mean, all kinds of stuff comes up. So like, I just want to say thank you for sharing that because I think it's important. And what I want people to know is that the truth telling that we do requires safety. It requires for you to be able to have that safe space. And so what you were able to do for those clients, you then had to do for yourself, which means like, if it was time to cry, you had to cry it out. If it's time to like, get a little bit angry and like scream into the pillow, which I teach my kids to do because we don't, you know, want to like freak out the neighbors, but I'm like, let it out. Let that emotion do its thing. I actually heard, I don't know, I don't think it's a statistic, but I heard a number. I don't know if it's true, but they say it takes about 90 seconds to 3 minutes for an emotion to fully be released from the body if you're fully indulging it. Now, that's not going to necessarily be true for all things. And just like, especially with grief, that's going to come in waves. And so you're not going to like deal with it once and then never have it again. But if you were to truly embrace anger for 3 minutes and really go all in on being super fucking angry and just like rage it out, right? You'll feel better in record time rather than suppressing it and hanging on to it, carrying it with you. It's like I said on another podcast, it's like, are you going to put that rock in your pocket? How many rocks are you going to carry around? Like you're literally burdening yourself if you hang on to your emotions.
Yes. No. And I loved like we connected on that too. I remember when I was sharing one of the songs on the albums called Anger, and it was after this brilliant experience with Sawa Owens, who's local to Denver and her Divine Sweat. And she basically cut space for us to rage. And it was so liberating.
It was so liberating. I still get chills when I think about what, like, ah! screaming and all the things. It was so good.
So. Yes. And I was so lit up. Like I was so inspired. And that night is when I like came home and wrote anger. Cause it was and basically in the perspective, if anger was a person and like what their anthem would be. And it just reminded me of that grace and that safe space that you're talking about. It is so vital to create environments for yourself, for all the emotions. And that's why self-awareness is so important. It's so important to recognize what emotions, what body sensations you're experiencing, and a safe solution and resource for you to fully be able to express that. Yep. And like your pillow example, perfect. You know, like no one's hurt by that. Like it's a safe space. It's welcoming, it's open, it's, and it does the job. Like
yep, which, it does.
And I think that's a big thing, a deep belief that I discovered in writing this new album was exactly that, how important it is to create space for all of our emotions, because that's literally what it means to be human. Like we're not intended to only experience joy. We're not intended to only experience happiness and all the arguably quote unquote good emotions. Like we're intended to be a human, like in our emotions, we're going to feel that's so unique to us. Like I might feel more anger in my life than the next person. Like, but, and that's why it's so vital for me to get to know who I am uniquely as me, and then be able to create really great resources and tools for myself to be a human.
Yep. Yep. Well, and it's, so it's interesting because I feel like my anger used to be much more easily triggered, because at the time, what I didn't understand was my own process for actual self-care that was unique to me. It's not like a freaking bubble bath. We're not talking about, you know, shopping alone at Target. It's not pedicures and manicures. Like those things can be fun. That's not real self-care, right? So real self-care is understanding what is your emotional frequency and what do you need to do to shift yourself into a different emotional frequency. So it was like, I didn't understand how much, especially during like, you know, the COVID years and all that kind of stuff. It was like, I was just riding on edge, feeling a lot of tension. I was postpartum depression and anxiety with my third kid. And even that stuff, it was like, I didn't have any tools other than the doctor telling me just to take a medication, which I did for a short time. And then I was like, this isn't sustainable. I don't want to take these pills forever. And I don't have judgment for people who do, but I didn't have anxiety until this third pregnancy. So it's not like something I need to learn to cope with, because I'm going to have it my whole life. It was like, that was specific to that season. And so it was like, I wish I figured it out later. But when I was having anxiety, or when you're having anger, or you're feeling like you're in a rage, what I didn't know at the time was that it was like a physiological response in the body of like, you're getting pumped with, you know, adrenaline, there's cortisol going through your body. I was literally experiencing the need to fight and flight. And what the body does is it creates the resources within your body through these chemical reactions to give you the energy to fight or flight. So you're either going to run away and you have to have energy for that, or you're going to fight for your life, which means you are getting pumped up. So if you've ever like gotten really angry and you started getting the shakes, like that is adrenaline in your body. And what I didn't know then that I know now is that actually hitting a punching bag, which I have a punching bag, I have punching gloves. It's not set up in my garage right now because I have a furniture project in there. But I'm like, if I had known that all I needed to do was just go knock some shit around and like, you know, not project it onto anyone, not take it out on anyone, but create a safe space to actually move the energy that was in my body. It was a chemical reaction. Life would have been so much different. I did not know that. And I'm not a runner. So people are like, oh, you need to get exercise. I didn't understand the point of the exercise other than it's healthy. I didn't understand that the movement was a way to move the energy. It's emotion, energy in motion. So if you're listening to this and you feel like you have a lot of anger or you have stress and frustration and tension, part of the reason why you want to do physical activity and get some movement going is to move that energy so that you can move on to something else. So I'm like, I don't know. I just got on a tangent there, but I'm like, this is crazy. So it's like, yeah, like if you don't have a place to go, like Salwa created, where you can rage in a ballroom wearing like, you know, your best outfits and your, like, well, I guess we were in workout clothes. It wasn't our ballroom gala decor or outfits. But yeah, so she's like playing this music and we're like, she's, you know, you feel like the drums and the bass of the music and we're pumping our arms left and right. I'm like trying to make it so people understand what I'm doing. And we are screaming at the top of our lungs. And I'm like, oh, hell yeah. I cannot remember the last time I screamed in a way that it was super intentional and not hurtful. Cause I've had my moments where I've yelled at my kids and I'm like, that was not the right idea. Like I just totally mucked that one up. Oh my gosh. I got to clean that up. You know, that was bad. I am overtired or I haven't eaten anything. Like I'm out of control. Had those moments. This was different. It was so powerful and such a release. And so much so that you wrote a song on it. Like that blew my mind.
It was so powerful. It was so impactful. It was incredible. And yeah, I mean, so from, the, I mean, that tool made me think also, aside from writing the song, was like, what tools do I have in my life to also set me up for success? Like, it's one thing to really have the awareness. It's another thing to then act upon it and be like, okay, so now I need to start being a little proactive and recognize that this is a trigger for me or recognize that this environment doesn't set me up for success. So then you can start creating tools to be proactive in that expression. And so yeah. Like for me, I also started embedding some tools. Like at the beginning of the year, right, I know that I get emotional on specific dates, like the loss of my mom, Mother's Day, her birthday, things like that. You know, they always show up. I just usually wake up that day. I can kind of feel the energy. And so what I started doing for myself was at the beginning of every year, I wrote myself a little, like I wrote myself 12 letters that have prompts on the front of them that essentially like, hey, if you're really yearning for parental love right now, open this. And then it's essentially me when I'm in a really good headspace, writing a letter to myself that would really help me when I am missing a parent or my mom specifically. And so I did that for a lot of different prompts and a lot of different scenarios that I knew would trigger me. And that's been so helpful for me. And aside from that, I also then do a similar approach, but on my phone. I'll just go to like random dates in the future and write like, you are a badass. Or I'll be like, yes, queen, like, let's go. Or I don't know. They're just like random, anything that comes to my mind. And then literally like 4 months will go by and that day I'll show up and I always set alerts and I'll just randomly get an alert of like, yeah, you badass, let's go. And it's so liberating. Like it always comes, I feel like, when I need it the most as well. But right. It's like little things like that. And for me, I'm a words of affirmations person. So it's like I'm reading those notes to myself and reading those alerts on my phone is really impactful for me. If you're a gifts person, take yourself out. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Target trip, like get yourself a new outfit, you know, and that's that self-care piece. And so I feel like it's also interwoven, is like really getting to know yourself, your emotions, and who you really are to the core, and then creating tools that set you up for success in the future.
Totally. And actually in my program, I actually have every module has like 7 like classes in each module. And one of the classes in one of my modules is, what is your love language? And so it's like, we want to be able to know what our love languages are, not so that we can communicate to a partner or our family or our friends so that they can honor our love language. It's so that we can handle shit when we need to handle it. So it's like understanding, okay, if your love language is physical touch, like what do you need to do within yourself to be able to create a loving, compassionate environment? And for some people that might mean like cuddling with a pet. It might be really learning how to advocate for yourself of when you'd like to get a hug without being like, I wish they would just hug me more and then read my mind, you know? And so it's like advocating for your hug, going, you know, making sure that you're really spending time with a pet. If you don't have a pet, volunteer somewhere, ask to borrow somebody's pet, or, you know, go get massages, like do things that feel like you're giving yourself the love and attention that you need for whatever your love language is. And so, and I didn't make up this concept, so I want to make sure I name that here. So it was written by a guy named Gary Chapman. He wrote a book called The Five Love Languages. So if you're not familiar with it, it's, there's five love languages. There's words of affirmation, physical touch, quality time, gifts, and acts of service. And so it's really useful, especially when you're in marriage, when you're a physical touch person and you marry an acts of service and you don't know this at the beginning, it can really be confusing. So if you're like, he's like, I've helped out so much. I'm taking care of all the lawn and I bought the groceries and I cooked her a beautiful dinner. And I'm just sitting up there like pouting, like, he hasn't cuddled with me all day. I don't even think he loves me. And he's like, I love her. I'm doing all these things and I'm feeling so neglected. So personal story, but this is why it's important to know. And so yes, it can help in a relationship, but when you're able to give it to yourself, yeah. If you're a gifts person, like, you know, then it's being meaningful and intentional, not necessarily just like buying shit that you don't need. It's like, what is something that would really make you happy? Go do that. If you're a quality time person, go enjoy some quality time with yourself. Like go to your favorite restaurant, get the food to go and sit at a park, go to take yourself to movies or something like that, or even just rent your favorite movie and, you know, eat some of your favorite chocolates and just watch a movie with yourself and enjoy it. And don't let any of, you know, loneliness or anything tell you that this is wrong or bad. Like truly enjoy your own company. If you're a quality time person, you know, obviously words of affirmation, it's like, put some notes in your phone, send yourself some letters. I actually did something like that once where I went to a conference and we wrote ourselves a letter and we addressed the envelope and then we turned them in. And it took a few months. Of course I had completely forgotten about it. And then I got a letter to myself when they had sent them. And it was like, I was like probably 19 when that happened. And I still remember that. I mean, this is like almost 25 years ago. I still remember feeling like I wrote myself a letter. Like that was so sweet. So, you know, whatever is your love language, find a way to give that to yourself and fulfill that for yourself and create that intrinsic sense of satisfaction so that you're not, it's not that you don't want to bring those needs to your, you know, relationships or to your partnership, but it's like, what if you didn't have to, and it was like the icing on the cake. It was like the cherry on the, whatever they call it, the cherry on the sundae, cherry on the top. I'm not great with all those little sayings, but anyway, so, you go ahead. Anything you have to say on that?
Yes. No, I totally agree. And I think that's kind of how, like, also, if you're someone who's like listening and you're like, I don't even know where to start. I mean, yeah, there's quizzes online for that. There's the Enneagram, there's human design, there's DISC profile. I mean, I've done all of them.
me too, which is probably why we get along so well. We're like, really love to get to know ourselves.
Yeah. And like, I mean, there's numerology too. I mean, there's so many. And so I think some of them resonated, some of them didn't. Like, the more I started tapping into myself and trusting myself, the more I did resonate. Because I remember myself, like, I mean, a lot of them are questionnaires, and I remember myself like thinking like, what do I want my answer to be? What's the right answer?
Oh, so true.
Yeah. And it's like, no, like the more I'm just myself and it's less of overthinking and I'm just showing up and answering for me, because the intention is to get to know me better.
Right.
Then it's like I resonate with more of those tools, and I'm able to tap into them more too if I am ever stuck or stagnant in any way, to get to know myself again. And I use that specifically a lot with human design. I mean, that was another thing I discovered as a manifesting generator. Yeah, and a 6-2 manifesting generator to be specific. And I discovering like that I'm an emotional authority was so validating. Like so much of it is validating, or it's informational. It's like, oh, interesting. Like, and none of it's cookie cutter. Like the intention is not to label us, because I'm also someone who's like, don't put me in a box.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's just remaining curious and open, because also we evolve as human beings all the time. Like we're intended to change. We're intended to learn and evolve and grow. And so So yeah, I feel like they're relevant in a multitude of facets in your life too, because you're going to change and your answers are going to be different. And
yeah, yes, they can always, yeah, because if you're not evolving, like, is what, like, where, why like, why are growth and evolution and change and all that kind of stuff is important. And I think that's one of the things I think in the way that I coach that is really a distinction about the coaching that I do is this, like, we, yes, you might have some wounds and those are going to pop up. Can you fully heal from things? I believe some things you can fully heal from and let go, but there are going to be times in which you probably haven't eaten enough or you're not sleeping enough. Like, things pop up, and it's usually when our core, you know, self-care at the most core level of like eating, sleeping, feeling safe in our environment, those things are going to pop up when we're lacking something in that area, even if you think you've gone through it. But the point of the healing work is to take you to the journey of where you get to the point of no return. So it's like, you know, with storytelling, it's like, well, there's this story, we've got this person and they're living their life in the old world, and then something happens and all of a sudden, like, there's a circumstance, there's a change, there's a shift. And then it's kind of like, now they're in this new place of like, what do I think? Where am I going? How's this going to work? And then, you know, they like dabble in this story a little bit and then something happens. And this is where I love to work with people, is it's like, you've come to the point of no return. That old story, that old paradigm, that old world is not going to work for you anymore. But what are you going to do different, right? That's why this podcast and why my business model is called How to Live Life Differently. It's like, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do with the information? Because it's like, if you do know that you are, you know, I'm a human design 4-6 manifester. And so that was so informative for me and very jolting in a way, which is not ironic because I'm like, I have the gate of shock, which if you don't know what a human design is, none of that makes sense. But to me, I felt like I had already come out of a place of having lived so conditioned. I was so trying to seek still approval and, you know, like getting permission on things. I still was like needing to be accepted and validated. So exactly what you're saying about answering some of those questions of those questionnaires on personalities, it's like, are you measuring your answers based on what nobody's looking, but we're like, what will people think, right? Like, no one's looking, and yet we're still, you know, looking at our answers in a specific way. And so I had really come to human design after I had done quite a bit of work. And for me, I felt like it was the greatest permission slip ever, because I saw myself, I recognized myself, and I was like, that is so me. And it's convicting and also a little scary, but it was like, what if I really saw myself in that way? And it was like super powerful and really meaningful. And it's like, I'm at the point of no return. Literally, now I have information I can never look away from.
Yes. And that's what I loved about it so much. And it's also like not really biased, because you don't answer any questions like yourself.
Yep.
And so it was so validating. Like, I, with my epilepsy when I was a kid, you know, I was turned away from like 3 different schools when I was 10 after I had my like near death experience, because cognitively I just couldn't keep up traditionally, and like I was testing years behind my peers, and so for so long though, my reality then became like, I'm slow, I'm not smart, I'm like, I'm behind. Like, you, I mean, even though I was like a kid, children are brilliant, first of all, and I intuitively was just like, oh. And thought all these things, like, I just thought I was less than, all these belief systems that I gained through these experiences that I just didn't have the right tools to process at the time. But now, and discovering human design and also like just tapping in to myself confidently, I'm like, oh my God, I'm not smart. Are you freaking kidding me? Like, I'm brilliant. Like, I'm so gifted. I have all these gifts. And like, that's what human, like, when I found out my human design, it was like, yeah, you're just this great intuitive role model. You have an emotional authority. Your emotions are like
your gift.
And I was like, what? Like, I thought my emotions were so like wrong. Like, I thought so many things that were told to me. And that was something else that I deeply believe now is, you know, I know we're born like a lot of our trauma is in our DNA, right? Like it can be passed down. And so we can be born with these like interior and spiritual challenges. But I also don't believe that we're ever born like bashing ourselves. Like you're not born being like, I'm stupid. That's learned. Like, and so anything, and once I kind of realized that as I got older, of like anything that is a narrative in that inner voice, that inner critic, whatever, was put there. It's not me. So if I'm really wanting to get to know myself and learn myself better, then anything that's negative, that's bashing me or holding me back or in any way is not me actually. And so then I just started choosing which thoughts I truly believed in and which words I wanted to say to myself to like rewire that in my brain. And that goes back to what you said earlier too, of like, looking ourselves in the mirror and saying things that are very loving to ourselves and how impactful that can be. And that evolution, like my album is an example of that. I mean, cause I was my biggest hater, and being able to like step into my fullest, most brilliant, loving self is so liberating and so worth it. So yeah.
Well, that's awesome. And there are two things I want to say here. One, I just want to reflect back what you said, that like, okay, you had a near death or semi-actual death experience, and then you came back or whatever. Like, is that even near death? But that's not the point. But I'm just saying, so you had this experience, you were testing or being appointed with this, you're several years behind your peers. And I'm a mom of three kids. And so I just like want to point this out to all the parents, like your kids are more resilient and powerful than we think they are. So it's like, here you are a beautiful example of someone who that your future didn't look as bright as some might've thought. And look at you now, like you're a singer, you're a songwriter, you are a storyteller, you're a successful human. Like you are making positive impact in creating beauty for this world. And you did that even having been several years behind your peers, like having gone through this unfortunate health experience that impacts your mental ability for some time, but like you have recovered mentally or whatever. And it's like, you're tracking better than most people now. Like you're doing things that are super courageous and fun and enriching and enlightening. And so I just want to point that out. If you're a parent, like hold space for what else is possible. Don't get too wrapped up in the negative story of a bad circumstance, especially having been in a head-on collision by a drunk driver. Like I know what it looks like to feel like you're in the same capacity. I guess it wasn't necessarily with the way my brain was working, but I was like, I was at a deficiency. I had brokenness about me that I had to overcome. I had to like develop what I thought was like this winning personality so people wouldn't look at my face. You know, it was like distraction over here. Look how great I am, or look how helpful I am, or look at all the ways that I bring light and energy. And it was like, those were parts of me that already existed, but I felt like I had to turn them up so that people wouldn't be afraid by my face. That was what I felt. You know what I mean? It's a weird concept, but like so I'm just say that. Kids have hard times. We can still recover and be amazing people that really like ourselves and create success later. That was one point. The other point that I wanted to say is that what we don't have at those ages are the mental and emotional tools to challenge our brains. And so it might not have even been a negative parenting that puts these thoughts into the brain. The kids can observe it from a TV show. They can hear another kid talking to another kid that way. They can hear an argument between two people that has nothing to do with them. So sometimes we have these ways that we learn to speak to ourselves, and it's not necessarily something that we've been on the receiving end from poor parenting or bad caretakers or anything like that. But what we don't have is the mental and emotional capacity to challenge the thought and tell our brain, that's not true. That is not true, right? So what we think we hear is just true, and we don't know how to challenge it. And that even as an adult, like I'm still working on being like, okay, is that true? I don't like, why did I just think that to myself? Like, okay, I think I need a snack because I'm obviously not thinking clearly. And that ultimately is what it is that the brain will go into survival mode, and it wants to stay safe. and it wants to not be seen. It just wants to stay small and stay tucked away. And anytime it feels that you're being threatened, it's going to steer you in a different direction. So I'm like, I have no idea what your childhood experience is like, but I'm like, I'm always so afraid of like messing my kids up. And I'm like,
yes.
It's not necessarily us that can mess the kids up. It's the children's inability to know how to challenge their own brain and understand that it's literally the primitive part of the brain, not who they are as a human.
Yes. Well, and I think that's so important. I mean, I also want to address both of your points. The first one, I also just thank you for pointing that out. And also, yeah, I went on to get my master's degree and I got a 4.0. Like, and I mean, also, if you look at it from a traditional standpoint, a societal standpoint, like, I became just as great as anybody else on paper. Right.
Yeah. You know? Like, she still got the formal education and the grades and proofs. I'm smart.
Yes. Like, And so I think the biggest component too with that is helping your, and then this brings me to your second point too, is like also helping your kids believe in themselves, like instilling that belief system, not only being able to navigate like what their thoughts, which thoughts are true and not true, but also instilling ways to have them deeply believe in themselves. Like when they're experiencing challenges, helping them, providing them with resources and tools for them to navigate that for themselves, I think is so important because we feel so empowered when we do things ourselves. Yeah. And when we do them more frequently is when we build that confidence in ourselves and that trust in ourselves and also grace with ourselves. Yeah. Like when we are experiencing challenges and go through failure, or we are in soccer and we lost and like talking about loss and what that means and letting ourselves be sad about that. And then like, I think it's so vital because to your point, yeah, it wasn't like poor parenting. It wasn't. And all those principles are probably extraordinary principles. Like they weren't like, oh man, I'm out to get Bree Dimmitt. Like, no, right. It's like they probably were just scared. Like they didn't have the resources. They didn't know, they didn't have the solutions. And so they did the best that they could with what they had. And so I think that's also just a really beautiful belief system is understanding that, like that grace, to have that for ourselves, like we're going to fail. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to do things that we think is the best choice. Like these principles, we're not thinking, oh, this girl, when she grows up and is going to be a 30-year-old woman who runs her own business is going to talk on a podcast about how we turned her away. Like that was not their intention.
No. You know? Like, right.
So it's so, yeah, I love that you pointed that out too, because yeah, I think it's just really important to help us as individuals believe in ourselves, be able, and that goes, this all circles back to emotions, like just being able to be open and curious about all of our emotions and creating ways for us to let ourselves express it. Cause that's just a part of life. There's going to be some hard hards and there's some great greats. And so it's just about like letting ourselves feel it all. Mm-hmm. And then being able to trust ourselves enough to decide who we want to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they have the whole story of like, which wolf are you going to feed? You know, it's like the one, the good wolf or the bad wolf or whatever. And I even like, let's take the good or the bad off. Cause I really dislike putting good and bad on emotions at all. Cause it really is. It's like, it's a positive feeling emotion or it's a negative feeling emotion. But if we start to be like, oh, it's a bad emotion, what we do inherently, we don't mean to, but it's like, as soon as you feel a bad emotion, then what the brain wants to do is like, that's a bad emotion. I'm bad. And so it's like, now the problem is with me. It's not just like having a negative emotion and knowing what to do with it. It's like, there's a problem. I'm a problem. Like I'm a hot mess or whatever it is. And so like real life example for that, as a parent, two of my kids are in competitive sports. One of them plays soccer, one of them plays baseball. And my son made a huge error in a game at a tournament just last weekend at a critical point in a game. I mean, like it doesn't get any more critical than this. We are, there's one out and he is a runner from first to second. And there was a fly ball and he, ran to go to second. The fly ball got caught. And so he ran back to first. But then they dropped it. I feel like, I don't know, was it an error? I don't know. And he didn't realize that the ball got caught and then dropped. So it wasn't actually an out. So they ended up making a double play and the game, which we were like bases loaded. We only had one out. Oh. And we were, you know, a few runs away from being able to maybe come back and win this game and like, have this killer story. And he just fell. The game's over. He's like out on second base. You know, you could just see him. He looked like he got socked in the gut. He's just, his hands are over his head in his helmet and he's got his head between his knees. And you could just tell, like, you know, this kid's like trying not to throw up. Like guilt, shame, embarrassment. Everybody saw that. I totally dropped the ball. I totally mucked it up. And so he, you know, had to go do his handshaking, and it's in between tournaments. So we had to feed him, and I made him a sandwich and stuff. And I was like, take a second. And I was like, you know, take a second, take some deep breaths. And then we kind of talked about it. And I said, here's the thing. We're going to go through this play again. We're going to reevaluate. What will we do differently next time? Right. Those are the three questions. What did we do right? What will we do? What didn't go well? What would we like to do differently? And we're going to evaluate it through a lens of like how we want to perform at the next time and what we're going to do. And also like, you know, like what do we need to be making sure that the coaches are saying? Cause you know, sometimes, you know, like, are you listening to the coach? Did the coach say what they like? They're there to be your eyeballs when you don't have it. So it's like, I'm not saying he can't be responsible. What I'm just saying, like, you're part of a whole team. Right? You didn't lose the game. You guys were already behind. Like, we had better pitching, better fielding. Like, it was all those things at once. And so he was still really down about it. And I said, listen, I'm not going to beat you up for it. And I won't allow you to beat yourself up for it. I said, so you need to take some deep breaths. You need to open your chest. I said, because if you don't, you're going to carry this into the next tournament, and that's not going to serve you or your team. You're definitely not going to bring a winning attitude if you're just going to replay this over in your brain. I said, so let's talk about it later. Let's put a pin in it. We're not going to suppress it. We're not going to act like it didn't happen, but let's talk about it later. And so, you know, he was like, okay, fine. And then he's just sitting there and he's starting to walk off. And I said, come back here. I said, you are not taking deep breaths. You know, I'm like, you are actually not doing anything to get this energy out. I said, do you need to run up to the bathroom, go for a sprint, do something to create a shift, make a decision. I'm going to deal with that later. I said, you have to decide, because I can tell you that don't beat yourself up. I can tell you we want to win the next one. I can encourage you. But if you can't encourage yourself, and if you can't refocus your brain on how do I win the next one, I said, you'll never play professional or in high school. And like, this is the mindset work that you have to be able to do. So I hope that story serves you. If you are a parent who has kids in sports, like it, those moments, they are beating themselves up. Like if you could be the voice of compassion and also coach them in a way to like, just knock that off. Like, we'll talk about it later. You don't get to beat yourself up, because I'm not going to do it either.
Yes. And I love that. And to your point too, like, I think the most beautiful way to help empower like our kids to build that within themselves is also to showcase it. Like, wait, next time you fail or you do something, like, share it at the dinner table. Like, today I had a speaking engagement and this happened, or whatever. Like, and talking about that to showcase that we're human. I think so often, like, and I'm not a parent yet. So, you know, to take my words for a grain of salt, but I just feel like often, especially as moms, like all my friends who are moms, they want to do what's best for their kids. Like, that's just what you want. You love them so hard. And so it's like, you want to showcase that you're confident and you're great and you're happy and you got it all together. But almost the most beautiful lessons is when we, in a safe and loving way, showcase that grace and that forgiveness that we have for ourselves with life that we're navigating too. And so I think it's beautiful to also just like open that conversation too, and be an example in that.
Absolutely. It's much easier to, here's what I would say. The times of when we used to be like, do as I say, not as I do, like that bullshit, that ship has sailed. people are really not taking any of that crap anymore. So it's like, if you were to be the type of parent who, like, you know, you're not, don't beat yourself up. Like, if I didn't actually model that, then he would be like, look at me, and he'd be like, she's full of crap. Like, there's no integrity there. The kids these days, I swear, it's like they're more intuitive and they're more aware. Take it or leave it, because it's a good or bad thing, but it's like social media. Like, kids are being raised up on YouTube these days. They have TikTok. They are learning things that they didn't have access to before. Just our general access to information is way different than it used to be. And so it's like they just see more than we ever did. I mean, I was an 80s baby. You know, think about like my parents, like, people were just having one TV with a couple of channels. And now we all have like streaming devices, sometimes multiple going at once in the same room. Like, it's overload for sure. But it's like these kids, they are observant to so much more than the way it used to be, where it was like your only life experience was that within your home, or maybe on your block, maybe within your church, if you were in a smaller community, or the kids at your school. Like, your circle, your bubble was like not that influential. And now we have access to this world wide web. They see so much more. So it's like, if you are trying to teach your kids something that you yourself have not learned to embody and to practice, or that you haven't done it, then they're going to call you out on it. Like, kids these days are more brazen. I'm like, who tells you get to talk to me that way? You know, like, what the hell is going on? So yeah, if you have kids, like, the do this for yourself first. Do this first and let the overflow of that wisdom and that practice then impact and teach them. And yeah, because the do as I say, not as I do, it's just like, it does not fly. It really doesn't.
Yes. No, absolutely. Yeah.
So I've loved talking to you. Tell us a little bit about, when is your record, your album? I'm like, what do we call it? The whole album?
I know. I haven't released the title of the album yet, and I haven't released officially the date, but it is summer of 2024. And yeah, if you are interested, I mean, I share all that information with my email list before it gets out publicly. If you're curious to learn more about just like the evolution of the album, the stories, the songs on the album, definitely go to my website at breedimmett.com and connect and go to the connect button, and then put your name and your email, and let's connect, because I would love to connect with you on there. Yeah.
And you're on Instagram quite a bit, so we'll put your Instagram handle on there too. And you'll actually see some of the photos that I took of her. She uses a lot of them. It's always so fun when I see pictures that I take pop up on the feed. I love it so much. So thank you for coming to get your photos done with me, but also using them, because that's a weird thing. It's actually like, people love to get photos and then they never use them. And it's like, well, I have a whole class on that, of like, you know, why people don't use photos and what to do differently so that you love the ones you create. But that's a whole topic for another day. So thank you so much for being here. I had this idea, and we'll see if it'll work out, because I know life is busy, but I'm like, I would love for you to perform live at my farm, and we could do like a little farm concert and have a little bonfire. So yes. I know we talked about it once briefly, but I'm going to put that back out into the universe and see if we can make that happen, because that just feels so fun.
Oh my gosh, I'm in. Yes.
Yay. I don't know. Like, would we do an acoustic? Like, I mean, it would be still with speakers and stuff, but like, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that would be such a cool, like, intimate vibe too. Or we could make it like, whatever we want. Yeah. But I love that. No, 100%. Yes.
Let's do it. If you're local, then definitely get on her list if you want to come hang out and do a little live show at the farm. So anyway, thank you so much. Do you have any final words, last thoughts before we close this up?
I just want to say thank you so much for having me on. I'm so grateful that our paths have crossed, and I feel like it's only the beginning of a long friendship, and I just thank you for your time. You are such a gift, and literally phenomenal photographer, like, plug. If you need one, call her. Like, I use all of them because I love all of them. Like, I just felt like myself in front of you, and you were an extraordinary photographer, and the results showcase that. And so I feel like I'm bad because I post them so frequently and I tag you all the time. And
no.
I'm like, so annoyed seeing my name on notifications.
Nope. Never annoyed. I always love it. So but thank you so much.
Yes, thank you so much. And yeah, so grateful to be here.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. So let's, you know, just wrap this up by saying self-awareness around your emotions. It's not just necessarily being able to identify your emotions. It's knowing what to do with them then after you have them. So it's like, okay, if I'm feeling positive emotions or I'm feeling negative emotions, what's next? So self-awareness isn't just being able to identify them. It's understanding how to shift them. And it's a powerful process. So if you need any support on that, go to my website, Nicole Herring. Oh no, that's my old website. www.howtolivelifedifferently.com. Yeah, I am creating a new brand. I can't believe how quickly that just came out, but talk about rewiring the brain. I had to say that differently. So thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you guys. We'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Live Life Differently podcast, where we support people who seek to have it all, personal fulfillment, professional achievement, and enriching relationships too, because around here, it all matters. If you haven't checked out the How to Live Life Differently website yet, what are you waiting for? Go check it out. While you're there, you can take a look at the online classes and the upcoming in-person workshops to see what might help you initiate your next level of expansion. I have lots of options coming your way at various price points because I believe that expensive paywalls suck. So there's going to be something for everyone. And if you're not finding something you're looking for in the library, or if there's a topic you'd like to hear about on the podcast, please send me a message on Instagram. I am here to help, and I love hearing from my listeners because I truly just want to provide content that adds value to your life. So thanks again for stopping by the How to Live Life Differently podcast, where we aim to make life and success fun again.